Ephesians chapter 6 is one of our passages this morning. We're going to be starting in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. So 1 Peter 5, 7 got me through college. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That's one of three verses that God used to get me through college. The other two there in Proverbs chapter 3 says, acknowledge all your ways unto the Lord, and he'll direct your paths. Lean not unto your own understanding, but follow him, essentially. That's a BK paraphrase. God used those verses to get me through college. I struggled with many things, as all college students do, mainly insecurity, but I couldn't tell you that when it was happening. For me, I needed a girlfriend. You know, that's what it was. But the reality was, is I was insecure. And so that was driving me, if you will, to these things. And in God's gracious love, he refused the one thing that I thought would make me happy. And me and several other, well, we call ourselves the dogs, we had a joke along those lines. If I only had a girlfriend, all my problems would be solved. And then we would laugh because we knew the stupidity of that. But yet, deep down, that's still what we wanted and the such. And 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you, got me through those desires. It got me through that, if you will, immaturity and the such. Well, this is 1 Peter 3, 7, and it is just as timely and very important to what we're going to talk about today. A couple weeks ago, when I kind of had the light bulb moment that we're going to have a lot of men compared to ladies in our services. Obviously, we still have ladies here, and we're thrilled you came today. But we're going to concentrate on relationships, and specifically men. But this information, if you will, this advice is going to apply either in any direction, whether it's mom and dad towards children, mom and dad towards each other, children towards mom and dad, whatever the case may be. These four elements will absolutely, radically change a relationship when you and I give into them. Now, this first one is advice to the husband how to live with his wife. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. And then we're going to, after 1 Peter 3, 7, we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to get the advice of parents towards children. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And then when you look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. I pray and beg that you will help us to take these few moments and soak in your word and advice that comes from your word to be better fathers, better mothers, better children, whatever hat we may wear, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, son, daughter, whatever. I beg, Father, that you will help us to improve in our relationships. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. To just start off, I came across this situation, I guess you could say, early on. And I believe this advice helps in all three situations here. I did not read the verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 that puts the onus, if you will, on the wife to be submissive. Because I'm directing this toward our men this morning, but that verse is there, the verse previous to verse 7. And my wife and I had come to Jesus moment early into the relationship when I figured out that everything that I caught from my mom and dad's relationship and from other preachers wasn't necessarily accurate. And everything that I thought I knew what submission was and how I was going to absolutely revolutionize Dawn's spiritual life by imparting this truth to her was not actually accurate. And so the first 5 years, you can imagine, there were some mistakes made, some pivotal and foundational mistakes. And pain, as Dr. Hooks will tell you, pain is a strong motivator. And in his book, The Message of Pain, we get out of that that proper responses to pain brings healing. Inappropriate responses to pain brings more pain. And so 5 years into the marriage, trying to apply a definition to submission that was not biblically accurate brought so much pain that I got to the point that I just looked her in the eyes with as much love as I could and as humbly as I could. I said, "Babe, it means something. And you're supposed to do it." And I absolutely admit, I don't know. That doesn't abdicate me from the responsibility, especially as a pastor, to figure it out. But it ultimately, within our marriage, it ultimately, she needed to know. Now, we did this together, and we went through it together, and God absolutely brought peace to our relationship and helped us understand what biblical submission is, what biblical leadership is, and what it's not. Sometimes you need to start there. What is it not? And the such. Well, the same is true for a man living with knowledge of his wife. It means something. Men, it is our responsibility to figure out what that means. And I'm going to tell you again, early on in mine and Dawn's marriage, I struck on some gold of what it means to live with her according to knowledge. And boy, it radically changed our relationship. It brought some peace to our relationship that we both desperately needed. And I'm going to share a lot of that in these four points here in just a moment. But then kids, to honor your mother and father, it means something, and it behooves you to figure out what that means. And that's not just when you're 18 and under. It's for your life. It's for my life. I am to honor my mother and my father. I honor my father now by respecting his example, following his good examples and the such, remembering the great things of his and my relationship, and forgiving the hurts and moving on. I honor my mother by keeping up with her and taking care of her when it is my responsibility to do so and such of that nature. And children, you have a responsibility to honor your mother and father. It behooves you to see what that biblically looks like and live it. And God will bless you as a result. And so just from a general standpoint, I wanted to share with you four areas as fathers and mothers, children, as we work in these areas. And yes, even though children, you have a responsibility to this as well, your moms and dads should be leading. If they're not leading, then it will behoove and fall upon you to lead in these areas, meaning to reach out to them. I've heard children say, "My mom and dad don't want a relationship with me." Yes, unfortunately, in this world, that is the way it is sometimes. That does not abdicate you, however, of doing what you should do. And I think it absolutely is important for us to do our part. When it gets down to it, there's one person you can control: you. And just because they're not doing the right thing doesn't release you of the reality and burden for you to do the right thing. Point number one. Relationship. This is a pivotal area that every one of us need to make sure that we have with our children, you know, fill in the blank. So I'm speaking this now as the father or the mother speaking to the child on relationship. My relationship with you, my son or daughter, is based solely and totally upon God's love for you. The image that is stamped upon your soul and my choice to love you unconditionally. Because of those first two things, you can bank on me. You can't cause me to love you less or more because I choose to love you unconditionally. It was Josh McDowell many years ago that brought this truth, if you will, to me. And it's biblical. It's agape love. And I struggle as a parent. I struggle wanting my children to do a certain thing, and then I love them. The reality is my children deserve my love whether they do the right or wrong thing. My children are just that, my children, and they have the stamp of God's image upon their soul. Watch this. And as a result, they are full of infinite value and worth. The world is telling them the absolute opposite. The world is trying to tell them where to get their worth from some sort of identity. And we're going to hit on that here in just a moment. The world is trying to tell some of our kids that you don't have any worth. The reality is that every person on this planet has been created in the image of God. Therefore, they have infinite value and worth. It's why we take such a, in a social, in a worldly sense, such a hard, harsh stand on pro-life. But the reality is we take a very loving, humble stand on pro-life. If a infant, pre-born or not, has the image of God stamped upon their life, who are we to give that child anything but the opportunity for life? You and I are simply agreeing with God. Well, how do you teach this relationship? How do you teach to your child that you are full of infinite value and worth, and I couldn't love you more? I'm not going to love you more because you do something good. I'm not going to love you less because you do something bad. That's where you get into favor. Parents, you need to teach your children that if you do what I ask you to do, you're going to get my favor. You don't do what I ask you to do, you're going to get the other side. That loving correction that all children need. Proverbs speaks about that. And we have gotten it down into a colloquialism that you won't find in Scripture, but Scripture backs it up. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And so it's so important that we realize, in fact, Proverbs puts it a little harshly, don't spare for their crying. You know, we've got to sometimes give that loving correction. With that said, it's got to be loving. So how do you teach this unconditional love to your children? T-I-M-E, time. You've got to spend time with your child. Now, weekly, so yes, each day your child needs to see your face to some level. Each child needs to know that you're supporting them and the such. Monthly, you're going to set up a monthly time that you and your child sit down if there's any way possibly. For sure, yearly, you need to have a time where you and your child do something together. I would love to tell you that me and Dawn faithfully obeyed this. We did not. We struggled, but we did strive to do this. Each child, we would try to spend specific. Now, a lot of times it ended up being all three at the same time. Tony can tell you we religiously took vacations, and it was on these vacations that we would religiously have our quiet times together because we wanted them to know what a quiet time looked like and the such. Sometimes the busyness of life on a week-to-week basis makes it difficult, but on vacation, you are planning the schedule, so you plan a time where your entire family sits down and you say, okay, kids, this is how we do a quiet time, such of that nature. It is important that they know through time that you care about their relationship. I believe personally that every parent should have a time that they can point to, and many, many times that they know that they had eye-to-eye contact and they communicated to that child, you know I love you, right? You know that you can absolutely depend upon me. And even though you may be in all sorts of trouble, don't hesitate to call upon me. No matter what situation you're in, we'll deal with the stuff later, but I will come to your aid and the such. So how to teach it, time, weekly, monthly, yearly, but also I wanted to share this as we were preparing for this this week. This has become, and Craig, I'm giving you credit for this colloquialism, but it may be somebody else, but I'm pretty sure I've heard you say this. I would ask Craig, you got a knife, and his response would be, do I got my pants on? Okay, so but you have said that. Oh, okay, and because it was Craig that I heard it from. Have I got my pants on? And guys, I'm going to tell you that's a pretty good rule to live by. You know, because you just never know when you're going to need one of these things. But I want us to consider, and ladies, certainly, you can take, fruit from this as well. But as a man, you and I ought to be, now this is important, you need to be a collapsible knife. If you're not a collapsible knife, that means you're always cutting something. That's not good. That's not good. There's four things to this knife that a good dad and or parent should be. Sometimes you need some sharpness. Hey, stop that. You need some sharpness. Dads, what about that first time that old boy comes to date your daughter? You need some sharpness. That's a good time to castrate the pigs. If you got some on the farm, that's a good, and have him help. He needs to know you have that ability. Okay. You might want to take that out of the for the web, but nonetheless. Sharp. Safe. Your kids need to know that you are 100% safe. They need to know that. If you're always sharp, that's bad. That's really bad. But they need to know you're safe. What about this? Tool. This thing's a tool. It's not just sharp. It's a tool. It's got little things attached to it that I can turn into a screwdriver. I can't tell you how many times I've used this. Dad, sometimes you're going to be used as a tool. Dad, I need to be picked up. Okay, I'll be there. You're a tool. And your kids and your wife, they need that from you. What about this? Always ready. Always ready. Now, this requires, if you're going to be always ready, do you know what has to happen sometimes? You got to take this thing out and sharpen it. I've done this several times because I didn't take the time to sharpen it. The very first time I used this knife, I cut myself. It was so sharp. I like that. I like that. I'm not saying I like to cut myself. I like that it's that sharp. It's important. So, dads, I want to encourage you. You and I need to be able to fit the knife illustration. Point number two, character. So not just, you're not just going to be that placating grandfather type dad. No, that's not what I'm trying to get at. But you have a real loving relationship with your wife and kids and the people within your sphere of influence. But you have something beyond just time. You have character. Now this is, again, you talking to your kid. I, unfortunately, will not always be where I can help you. Church, that's a reality. We like to say, I'll always be there for... I am not going to be there for Benjamin at Jeff City every time he needs me. Logistics doesn't allow it. So, has Dawn taught our kids the character... Let me keep reading. I unfortunately will not always be where I can help you, so it is of the utmost importance that when those times come, when you are all you have, that you will be able to count on you. This will depend upon what you did with your character. Character is the summation of the principles and choices that you have chosen to live by. Choose well. Choose well. You see, good character is ultimately you, parents, modeling your life after God, so that when you need God in your life, you will essentially be applying His actions, His principles, His values to that particular situation. The book In His Steps is a fictional situation of a church that starts asking themselves, what would Jesus do? And it brought about a revival. Wouldn't it be great if that wasn't fictional? Wouldn't it be great if all the churches throughout the United States and our world, before they did something, they asked themselves this question, what would Jesus do? That's really a modern way to say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's so important that we teach character. So how do we teach it? First of all, I want you to know that many, many years ago, I was exposed to a resource. And that resource has 28 to 30 or so character traits on it and their definitions. I can get those for any of you. If you want to use those to teach your children, I cannot encourage you enough to do that. They are excellent definitions. For instance, and this is one of my favorite stories. I didn't share this in first service, so you're getting something extra for your tithes and offerings today. Now, Molly was 2 years old. We had just moved to Temple Baptist Church. They had just built $1 million, some sort of, what do you call those, gym facility. They were the rage back then for churches to build and the such. And heard her friend Michael found a can of spray paint. And in the kitchen, brand new. It wasn't drywall. It was this new construction stuff. And they're just in there just doing this. Well, the custodian brought Molly to me and Dawn. Dawn happened to be there that day at the church. I don't know if she did it or not, but she's got a little bit of spray paint on her finger. And we said, well, first of all, we'll clean it. We'll do whatever we got to do to get it back to its newness. And we're so, we're embarrassed. We're mad. And there's Molly. She's happy. And I got her in the room. Of course, my face is contorted and I'm upset. Did you do this? I mean, because she's only two, but she's pretty smart. She could tell if she says yes to this, bad times ahead. Bad. So she's like, nope. You didn't do this? Nope. Well, who did it? Michael. So, I haven't used the little evidence yet. And praise the Lord. It probably saved Molly a horrendous discipline action. My mother was supposed to pick her up in just a few minutes. I got 15-minute drive, and I got to go. So I told Dawn, I said, I'll take care of it. And I looked at Molly and says, get in the car. So she gets in the car, and we're taking off. And I'm so thankful somebody else got in the car that day. The Holy Spirit. And you know what he told this dad? Have you taught her what the truth is? No. How long have you had her? 2 years. I think it's about time. Hey, Molly, I want to ask you a question. Okay. What's truth mean? Oh, you don't know what truth means. Mm-mm. So, baby, let's do something. Okay, let's pretend. All right, let's just have a little game. I got footloose, happy. Everything was, I took all the angst out of it. And I said, babe, count with me. I'm gonna hit the dash of the car. I want you to count with me. Okay, you ready? Yeah. One, one, two, two, three. All right, now, babe, ask me how many times I hit the dash. Dad, how many times did you hit the dash? 4. Dad, that's a lie. She knew what a lie was. And I said, so, baby, if that's a lie, what's the truth? Oh. The truth, babe, is accurately reporting past facts. That is on that sheet. Accurately reporting past facts. Oh, okay. Now, we had to talk about what the word accurate meant. We had to talk about what the word reporting meant. She's 2 years old, almost 3 at this point. And then, after we got through all that, you know what I said? Hey, babe, did you spray paint that wall? Sure did. I mean, just like that. She accurately reported past facts. She did not get a spanking. She got a lesson. And church, I'm telling you, we've got to take time and teach character. We do. We've got to teach what character really is. So how do you teach it? You teach character traits. You make sure that they're available to your kids and to your family. You take life lessons. When something like that happens, you just kind of push everything aside and you take advantage of those life lessons. And listen, these life lessons should not ever stop. They continue. It may look more like just a dinner sometime with you and your grown adult children, and you're just talking about how God is teaching you. It doesn't have to be corrective. It's life lessons. Be an example and point to examples. This is how you teach character. Parents, when someone that you love, this doesn't have to be children, but someone you love and they look up to you, and they see you do the right thing, that's better than any seminar going. And then when they see you do the wrong thing, that's bad. And if you got just a few moments to own it and correct it. Now, you can certainly come back later, but it has its most powerful impact if you'll do it quickly. Own mistakes. Point number three, identity. Once again, you as a parent are talking to your child. The world tells you to identify with something specific to you or to a group that cares about what you care about. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a lie. That is not where you and I find our identity. And it will destroy your life. Instead, identify with the one who created you. Your God is the best identity for any created being. There's no identity outside of your Creator that will fulfill a created being. That comes from God and God alone. Well, how do you teach this? Well, you teach who God is, back to the character. You reveal His character traits. He's all-knowing, He's all-powerful, He's ever-present, He's sinless, He's immortal, He's unchanging. Wrathful, just, merciful, kind, compassionate. Who doesn't want to identify with that? Who doesn't want to identify with the one who created them? Now, I love this. Model this identity and teach a quiet time. And I know I've been hitting on that hard recently. You know why? Because it goes with our first prayer of every Sunday. If we're not modeling this quiet time, our kids are not going to catch that. Be faithful to the Lord's house. I'm preaching to the choir. Thank you for being faithful. Point number four, mission. Well, once again, talking to the child. If you're going to identify with God and that's where you draw your significance and security, then it really does matter who God loves and what God loves, and that is what we base our life around. This is our mission, to not just have a good relationship and good relationships with one another, not just build our lives around life-giving and life-saving principles, not just identify with the Creator, but to give our lives to what God believes is most important, which, of course, is reaching a lost world to Himself. Here, just a few moments, we're going to share with you, and I guess I can just do it now in way of announcement. Today is Life Change Sunday. It did slip up on us a little bit this year, and we, you know, are down 28 folks at a conference and the such. But if you have 2 o'clock open today, we would love to see you at 47, right there at St. Clair, where the new Farmers and Merchants Bank is. That corner on the other side is the Church of Christ Church that we will be meeting, handing out signs to stand for 1 hour from 2 to 3 to support the life chain. What is that? That is you and I taking a loving stand against abortion. I think it's important. I believe it's a part of our mission. We're trying to reach people who have went through the horrific situation of abortion, meaning the mothers, but we're also trying to save the lives of those newborn or preborn children. So how to teach mission? First of all, memorize the Great Commission. Every one of us, Matthew 28:18 and following, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's a rough paraphrase, but if you don't know it, the paraphrase is, you know, you need to get there. You need to get to where you know and you can teach others the Great Commission. Memorize the Bethel approach. Brother Brad will have that up here in just a moment. This is how we as a church strive to live out the Great Commission. Bethel to the world, know Christ, live Christ. Bethel to Bethel, know your name, live your name. You and I are going to tell our loved ones, the people within our sphere of influence, we're going to tell them that they need to be a house of God. That's what the word Beth-El means. Beth is house, El is God. You need God in your house. Missionary, if you're not getting your if you're not getting your salary from a church or a group of churches, you are a self-support missionary to Franklin County. God is using secular employment to provide for you to be a missionary to your community. Baptist, know and live the distinctions of what it means to be a Christian. Church, we have responsibilities to one another and to our community. We need to teach mission. This church will not survive if we do not have church members that live their lives for the mission of sharing the gospel to other people. That's just the reality of it. And I am asking you to give your life to that. You live out the first, the Great Commission, by accomplishing the second, the Bethel approach. This is how we as a church carry out the Great Commission. Will you stand, musicians? Will you come? All three of my children, unbeknownst to themselves, all three of them blessed me this week in different ways. Benjamin was blessed with an opportunity to harvest. Brother Rick harvested a deer. You'll have to ask Rick if you harvest deer or not. You harvest beans and corn, right, Brother Rick? Yeah, but harvest is just a nicer word than kill. So Ben harvested a deer Monday evening. And then like on Thursday evening, he was back in the food plot with his traditional bow. He's got a challenge on himself. He wants to kill a deer with his traditional bow. So in other words, it doesn't have pulleys. It's not a compound. It's not a fancy bow. It's just a traditional bow and the such. He sent me a text and said, Dad, thanks so much for going to all the trouble with food plots just so I can harvest deer. It blessed me. Yesterday, Molly sent me a picture of her all dolled up with Lincoln sitting in her lap. Little Lincoln is one of the cutest kids you'll find. Of course, all of our kids are the cutest kids you'll find, we believe, here at the church. But, amen. But it blessed this father's heart to see that picture of her all dolled up, ready to go to the conference, holding that child. And then all week, Tony has been coming telling me stories about Donna Ballou. Tony walked into Donna's room. He works at the St. Clair nursing home. And he said, Dad, you think she remembers me? I'm like, there's only one way to find out. And he goes in and says, hey, Donna, you know who I am? And Donna's just looking at him. And he said, my dad's Ben Kingston. Oh, yeah. And then she thought he was Ben Kingston. And he said, no, I'm Ben's son. I went to your Sunday school class. Oh, so now she gets it. And it's been cool. And it's been a running thing. Well, Donna said this today. Donna did this today. That's blessed me. It's important, church, that we interact with our loved ones. I'm one of the biggest, what would the word be? Assailants. It's the only thing that's coming. Getting my head down, trudging through life. You're missing it. You got to ask God to help you. Pick that head up and look around and see who you need to touch and who you need to pray for and who you need to love and who you need to spend time with. Father, we ask you to do your will and way in this service, in this invitation. Change us, Father, to look more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come?